At Byers Volkswagen, we've been family-owned since 1897, built on trust, driven by innovation. And now, buying your next Volkswagen is easier than ever. Shop online, customize your deal, and finalize everything from home. Just stop by to pick up the keys. It's that simple.
Drive home a new 2025 Volkswagen Taos S-FWD for $350 for 36 months with zero due at signing.
The next generation shops online, and we're driving with them at ColumbusVolkswagen.com or visit us by the airport.
See dealer for details. Offer ends 11/30/25.
Joining us on the line now is Helen Newstead. She's the head of language content for Collins Learning. Single use has been named Collins Word of the Year for 2018, referring to products, often plastic, that are made to be used once only before disposal. Welcome to the show, Helen.
Hello. Thanks for having me on.
Pleasure. Thanks very much for joining us. Now, first of all, something me and my colleagues were discussing in the office and were a bit confused about are words being called words that aren't words, if you know what I mean. Single use is two words, surely.
Well, it's a compound word. So English has all sorts of different compound words. Some of them are hyphenated, like single use. Others might even have a space. Last year we had fake news was our word of the year. So it's not a single word, but it's a single lexical unit.
Okay.
That doesn't sound quite as good as saying, you know, our lexical unit of the year doesn't sound quite as good as word of the year.
Fair enough. So, and all these words are in the dictionary. So that means there's words in the dictionary that are actually, in fact, two words or hyphenated, as you say.
That's right. So something like, you know, swimming pool, for example, would be in the dictionary as a lexical unit.
Okay, so when you say lexical unit, what does that mean then?
Well, that means a word or a group of words that together signify something. So, for example, if I talk about a narrow boat, that doesn't mean that a boat that's narrow. So sometimes these units that we call lexical units actually mean more than the sum of their parts. So a narrow boat is a specific type of boat. It doesn't mean a boat that's narrow. So those often have a separate entry in the dictionary because it's important to be able to look them up and understand what they mean.
Clever. So let's look at some of the other words then. Plogging was another one.
Plogging, yeah. So this is quite a fun one. So this is the activity of picking up litter while you're out jogging. So it comes from, it's a sort of Scandinavian import. I don't know if you remember, we had hygge a couple of years ago.
Yes.
We had various Scandinavian terms coming into the language, but plogging is this year's. And, you know, you can get fit while you're doing your bit for the environment. So there have been plogging groups sort of popping up all over the place, in the UK and the USA and India, China, Colombia. It's been a big thing this year.
How funny. Nice that there's two that are to do with the environment, plogging and single use.
Plogging and single use. I think it's been a big theme of the year. You know, I think TV shows such as Blue Planet at the end of the last year really raised awareness. So, so yes, when we looked at the data, kind of analysing for evidence, we saw a real clustering of words around this area. So single use was the most prominent, but there were lots of other words like microplastics, microfibers and plogging.
Wow. Another word that has been used a lot more recently is vegan.
Vegan, that's right. Yes, yeah, so obviously this isn't a new word. It's been in the dictionary for quite some time. But usage has been steadily rising over the last decade, and we noticed that it had doubled in usage in the last year. So obviously there's a lot more interest in plant-based diets, so we thought it was a good one to reflect in our shortlist.
Yeah. Is that because a lot more, many more people are becoming vegan, or maybe just doing more vegan cooking?
I think there's a bit of both. I think some people are becoming vegan. I think some people, there's another term, I don't know if you've heard, called flexitarian, mm-hmm. where people try and adopt a plant-based diet, say, for part of the week, sort of meat-free Mondays and that kind of thing. And there was sort of a big veganuary push where people go vegan for January. So I think people are sort of interested generally in plant-based diets, even if they don't really want to go fully vegan.
Mm. Yeah, people are understanding more of the health benefits and things.
That's right, yeah. The health benefits and also the environmental impact as well.
So yeah, absolutely. And Me Too is...
Me Too.
Is that in the dictionary then?
Yeah, so that is in our online dictionary, collinsdictionary.com. And so this is an interesting one from a linguistic point of view because it started life as a hashtag and as a sort of online as a hashtag to sort of raise awareness of the campaign. But slowly it's starting to make its way into mainstream language and it's come to represent a sort of broader social movement. So you talk about the Me Too era and the Me Too culture and Me Too moments. So, so that's quite an interesting one from a linguistic point of view.
Mm. I'm assuming there aren't that many words that have started from hashtags then.
That's right, yes. I mean, lots of words get used as hashtags, but there aren't that many that sort of come out of that social media sort of bubble, as it were, and start becoming used in mainstream language. So it's quite an interesting one.
Yeah. What about gaslight?
Yeah, so gaslight means to manipulate someone by presenting them with false information to the point that they start to doubt their sanity. And it originated from a play in 1938 called Gaslight, which a husband tries to drive his wife insane by insisting that the gaslight in their home isn't getting dimmer. And it's it's subsequently been used to describe sort of abusive relationships. It's even been used in politics this year, talking about politicians gaslighting voters. So it's a term that that is becoming more prominent. There was a big Archers plotline a couple of years ago as well that raised awareness of this.
Interesting. And yeah. I remember a few years ago in 2016 when Brexit was Colin's word of the year, and there's now a couple of words in this year's list that are to do with Brexit, one being backstop and the other being gammon, which has nothing to do with meat.
It's nothing to do with meat, no. So gammon is a pejorative term for someone sort of middle-aged, quite vocal, with reactionary views. And it's been used quite a lot on social media in the context of sort of Brexit negotiations. And there's backstop as well, which was just to do with the Irish border. So again, there's been a significant increase in usage over the last year. So Brexit keeps on giving us new words.
Yes, absolutely. And another one which I'm surprised and interested in there, because it's an acronym, VAR.
VAR, that's right. So VAR is an abbreviation for Video Assistant Referee. And it's not new technology, but last year was the first year that was used in the World Cup, and obviously it gained a lot of coverage. And kept popping up in our analysis of frequently used words. So obviously it was quite controversial as well in usage in the World Cup. So there's a lot of commentary on it.
So are there other acronyms then in the dictionary?
Oh, yeah. So there's all sorts of abbreviations and acronyms. I mean, things like NATO, for example. That's right. Yeah.
And floss, that's something a lot of people have been doing this year. And again, nothing to do with the teeth.
Nothing to do with the teeth. So floss has been a big playground craze of the year. It was a victory dance that became popular after it was featured in the video game Fortnite. So I think anyone with children listening to this program will know that game very well. It's been attempted by various celebrities as well, footballers. Dele Alli had a go. I think he was quite good at it. Other people such as Jeremy Corbyn, but possibly not quite so good at it. He had a go at it last week as well. So, it's quite fun.
Yes, I can't do it.
Yeah, I've had a go, but, not brilliant at it either, I must
say. And the people who can do it make it look so easy, don't they?
They do.
You think, oh, I can do that. And then you're like, what? Hold on a sec. I'm not sure how this is supposed to work.
Quite coordinated. I know my children are very good. They keep trying to show me how to do it, but I haven't quite mastered it yet.
So is there a team of people who decide on the word of the year, presumably?
Yes, so we have a team of lexicographers, and we use this data bank called the Collins Corpus, which contains 6 billion words. And what we do is we take snapshots of language. So we'll, say, analyse the language of today, and we can compare it with the language of, say, 6 months ago, a year ago, or 5 years ago, and look at new words and, new meanings that are emerging in the language. So we take that list and then we get together as a group and discuss it. And, we might, look at the themes of the year. We look at the frequency of usage. We try and consider whether the word has some longevity. So there's lots of factors that come into play when we're looking at the list.
Interesting. Well, Helen Newstead from Collins Learning, thank you very much for joining us.
Thank you. Thank you very much.